Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of Health Talks with Dr. Trin. The one show, maybe the only show, that shows you the path to a healthier life, one conversation at a time, one possibility at a time. Today, we're going to talk about some possibilities, some breakthroughs in healthcare that I think is going to change the way we all think of going to the doctor here. What do you think, Dr. Trin?
All right. Good morning. Happy Thursday. It is quite windy outside today in Orange County.
Yeah. Wow. Wind advisory. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm happy to bring back Mr. Huang Yu, who is the founder of actually several companies all in the healthcare space and home smart home space. But we want to chat today about some updates that he has from our last conversation with him. I think, was it last September in Huang?
Around August or September.
Can you remind us and remind the audience what we chatted about last August, September? We were talking about remote patient monitoring with your devices of NewsLogic, NewsRPM devices that measures blood pressure from home, measures vital signs and your weight, your blood sugar, if you're a diabetic. And that information that's measured at home gets uploaded onto the cloud that your doctor can see, right?
Yep, that's in a nutshell, yes.
Yeah, and I think you have some updates that you want to give us from last time. And I know you have partnerships that are onboarding and different things of that sort. So yeah, so tell us what's going on these days.
As he joins the show remotely, by the way, he's joining the show remotely. So it's obvious we're talking about remote sensing because we've got a remote guest.
Yeah. Everything is remote. Yes. Thanks, Paul and Dr. Trin, for another opportunity to come to your OC Orange County Talk Show to share with the audience what NewsLogic Telehealth does and the new features in our version 2 of our smart home health platform. We are based in Irvine in Orange County here, and NewsLogic is a connected health company with sensors, wireless, cloud, data analytics, machine learning, and AI technologies that enable remote patient monitoring services, which is useful and in demand during the pandemic. Okay? Via data analytics and machine learning, the platform can also offer opportunities in the preventive telemedicine. Like Dr. Trin said, we were on your talk show last August, and here's a quick summary of version 1 of our smart home health platform that I presented in the first session 6 months ago. We work with doctor offices and clinics and potentially in assisted living facilities and nursing homes as well to monitor the patient's health status in the patient's home or at the point of need. We provide health devices such as this blood pressure cuff, pulse oximeter, or glucometer, thermometer, even a weight scale like these for the patients to measure daily. And patients would use these devices the same way as they normally do. And the health data is captured wirelessly, this smart hub device, and transmitted to the internet and then to doctor offices instantaneously. We call this device a smart RPM hub. Basically, it's a gateway to the internet and similar to your iPhone, but it's a standalone device. RPM stands for Remote Patient Monitoring, which is a Medicare reimbursable program. And it started in 2019 in an effort by CMS to cut down on hospitalization costs and unnecessary emergency room visits. All a unique feature, yes. If you have any questions, just interrupt me.
All right. So I'm going to just stop you for a second and see if we can digest some of this here, because it gave us a lot of information here. These are devices I already know how to use. A weight scale, a blood pressure cuff, something I check my blood pressure with. What were the other ones? You got weight, blood pressure, oxygen.
The weight scale, thermometer, and glucometer.
A glucometer is what? Your blood sugar? I can actually check my blood sugar.
Yes, the blood sugar, yes. Okay. Basically, RPM is for monitoring hypertension and diabetes. Then I'll talk about the new program by Medicare, which is called RTM later.
Okay, so of this, you rolled this out and came on our show last time. What's changed? What's new?
Have you added? Okay. Before I go into that, because I have to set the stage for the new features and how they work interactively with the previous feature. In addition to those health devices, we also monitor intake, medication intake via these smart pill box or pill bottle, which has...
How do you monitor that your patient's taking their pill? How does that work?
Under the cap of the bottle, there's a sensor. The moment you open it, it will log all those events. Okay.
Can you show us the sensor, what it looks like? I want to see this.
Dr. Trin's such he's a tech geek. He wants to see the technology here, right?
Wow.
Yeah, it's in this plastic enclosure. Basically, it's a Bluetooth device that emits some beacon signal the moment you open the pill bottle.
And does it come in different sizes? Because my pill bottles come in different sizes.
Right. Currently, not yet. Yes.
So every time the patient opens that pill bottle, it tells us that the patient opened the pill bottle. So right. You know they're taking their pill, assuming they're taking their pill with their pill bottle.
Yes. We are planning to come out with a version 2 of this pill bottle with a weight sensor to know exactly how many pills they pull out each
time. What?
That is possible. Wow. Yes.
It makes sense because they might not be taking, not only are you worried they're taking the pill, they might be taking too many or too few or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So can I just offer a little testimonial here? I've never used this device, but I can testify to the need. My late aunt, who I talk about often on this show, passed away several years ago in her 90s. She lived alone, way away from me out in the desert, and she was pretty much a hermit. She didn't go anywhere, do anything. Nobody saw her. She got Meals on Wheels. That was the only human contact she had. Once a day, somebody brought her a meal. And the rest of the time, she stayed home, watched TV, and nobody really was there to check on her. I tried to go out as often as I could, once a week, once a month, whatever it was, see how she's doing. But we, meaning the doctor and me, always worried, did she fall? Is she, because she was overweight, what was her weight? What were her vital signs? I would try and call her every day just to see if she's alive. And just to see how she's doing. And we were all so nervous because she was so far away and so alone. And I think there's a ton of people like that.
Very good that you mentioned those points, Paul. Yes, because in addition to RPM, CMS just came out with a new program called reimbursable program called RTM. And it has monitoring daily activity and reimbursable for therapeutic measurement and response, which includes medication tracking. So it's very timely for us.
And you say, well, why didn't my aunt just go see the doctor? She couldn't drive. She had trouble walking even, but she's on her own. Why wasn't she living in an assisted living in a nursing home? As many kept saying, well, you got to put her in a home. You got to put her somewhere. One, she didn't want to go there. I'd be forcing her, locking her up. And two, she didn't have the money. She couldn't afford $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a month. So she was happier. It was what she wanted to do. It's what she could afford to do. It's what she did her whole life. She lived alone. But as you got older, that was scary for her and for us and for anybody worried about her because we didn't know what was going on. I was happy to hear that Meals on Wheels showed up once a week, once a day, just to see that she was alive and just talk to her. You're talking about a lifeline. You're talking about something. This isn't just, well, it would be nice. I'm 60 and it would be nice. I don't have to go to the doctor and stand in line. I'll just send the information in. You're talking about something that could had this in place. She didn't have a stroke or anything like that, but we could have caught this stuff early enough to say, oh my gosh, a red light goes off. A warning bell goes off. Something happened. She hasn't taken the pill in 3 days. Her blood glucose level is shooting up. Something bad is happening. Rather than waiting for her to find her way, to find a ride, to get into the doctor once every 3 months, once every 6 months. In the meantime, something bad has happened and we could have caught it earlier.
Yes. I think that's the whole idea of being able to monitor remotely how your patients are doing. The big gap we have today in our current healthcare situation is I see a patient. I write a prescription and I tell them to come back to see me in 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
I have no clue what happens in between. Yeah. I have no clue if they're taking their pills. I have no clue if their sugar is high. I have no clue if the blood pressure is off or not because I'm just seeing them back in 3 to 6 months. So the idea behind remote patient monitoring is that it fills the gap where the in-between visits, where the physician now knows what's going on with their patient, with their sugar and diabetics, with their hypertension, with all that stuff.
So I see the potential. Can I play devil's advocate and bring up two issues that maybe your guest can address here? One is my fear that patients, particularly in today's world, will object to being monitored. It's Big Brother. I don't want anybody checking me. It's none of your business. I'll come in if I feel sick. Now, I don't know if my aunt would have felt that way. I think she would have been thrilled because she was always keeping logs of what her weight was and everything. My dad used to do the same thing, and he would bring this data to the doctor, and the doctor, quite frankly, didn't have the time to review it because you only got 5 minutes here today, and you give me this flood of data, this chart of what's your daily, I'm going to chart my blood pressure, I'm going to chart my weight, I'm going to chart all these things. Here, doctor, I did it manually for you, and the doctor says, what am I going to do with this? I can't review this in 5 minutes. What's your test today? That's all I have. So my fear is, do patients, is there some fear that patients will see this as an invasion? And if they don't, is there some fear that the doctors won't have the time to read all this?
Those tough patients always exist, yes, and we encounter that. But of our about 800 patients that we have deployed the system, that's about 5% that objected to that. So it's still a small percentage at this point.
What do you think, Dr. Chen, about the doctor's issues? Because we've talked about this before. Doctors are overwhelmed. Doctors have very little time to spend with a patient. You have to make a diagnosis very quick. It's an assembly line, in and out, pay per service. And I guess I'm hearing that there is some reimbursement for some of this. So maybe doctors aren't doing this on their own. I would hope a doctor would be interested enough in me to always pay attention to my data. But if he's got 100 patients, he may not have the time to do so.
So the doctor doesn't need to personally look at the data. The doctor has a team that will review the patient's data remotely, like the nurse, right? Or the NPP.
Not even the nurse, MA, medical assistant.
And also the technology behind this. You can set parameters where it only notifies you if the blood pressure is too high.
Ah, so it's an alert.
It's an alert.
Each patient, the doctor can set that threshold. Yes. Thresholds depending on the patient's health status. And CMS came out with this program, this RPM program. They realized that doctor's offices is already very busy. So this program allows for, like I said, MA, medical assistant, not even nurses, to take care of the day-to-day logistics. And our automated, highly automated software will only notify the MAs when some things are out of the normal range.
So there's a record, a daily record of activity, of readings, that the doctor or this team can access if they need to and want to go back and review.
Yes.
But generally,
always. It's stored forever. Yes.
But generally, it's set up to give you an alert. Uh-oh, something's going on here. I need to see this patient. Somebody needs to contact them. What the heck is going on here?
Why real time. Yeah. In real time. The problem we have with patients bringing in their records of all their blood pressures over the last 3 months, their blood sugar over the last 3 months, is that the abnormality could have been 3 months ago. And you're like, wow, I wish I knew 3 months ago that your blood pressure was way off. And that was 3 months ago. You're here today, right? And so it defeats the purpose of being able to address the problem in real time.
So I think this is, I started off by saying, having taken care of an elderly person, a couple of them actually along the way, my mom, my dad, my aunt, I wish this was around because it would have prevented. My dad did have a stroke, and maybe they could have detected some change or that would have alerted them to this possibility. Wait, I don't know all the factors that cause stroke, but maybe they could have monitored something. Certainly, my aunt had diabetes, and we needed to monitor her levels and stuff here. All of that either falls to the patient to do or the caregiver to do. And as you said, and even when they do it, by the time the doctor sees it, it's too late.
Yes,
exactly.
Very often.
So let me ask the opposite question. This is going to be the biggest company in America. Every single man, woman, and child is going to want this service here. What is holding back wider adoption? Is it still being tested and figured out? Is it still being marketed and made people aren't aware of it? Are doctors, for some reason, resisting it? Where's the blockage right now here? Or is it just because it's new? That most people
mainly because they are busy with their daily, already overburdened with their daily activities and also being adverse to technologies. It needs some time to train the MAs and also the doctors in case of, if the data is outside the normal range. So those, they are busy and also their technologies are adverse.
So I hear this a lot, Doctor. Talk about this, Dr. Trin. I don't want to bash doctors, but part of me is frustrated that the most scientific people I know are somehow adverse to technology. I hear this all the time. Doctors didn't want to go switch to an iPad because they wanted to write it out on paper and it was a pain in the butt. They don't want to do electronic record keeping because it takes too much time, even though now I can share the records with the hospital and everybody can see it. There's so much logic to switching to technology. And I hear this over and over again, that one of the bottlenecks is the doctors, the nurses, the whole medical establishment is...
We're creatures of habit.
Yeah.
We're not creatures of improving efficiency. We're just creatures of habit. There's the question on Facebook here. Sharon is asking, does it take a paid person to be the go-between the patient and the doctor to do the monitoring?
In other words, do we have to have, the doctor's not going to see this. I guess what I might see if I'm summarizing this correctly. I think what she's asking is, are we adding another paid person into the team? Do they have to hire somebody to be the, to check this stuff or pay them to do it? And do they, and my question is, does the doctor's office get paid, compensated for that from Medicare?
Actually, they are paid quite generously through this program. There are four CPT reimbursement codes that are quite generous compared to other, for example, telehealth virtual visit services. And like I said earlier, the doctors don't have to be involved in this on a day-to-day basis, especially for normal cases. Most of the time, not even a nurse, an MA can handle this. And we are software highly automated. We can reduce the activity or the spend. The time spent by the MAs.
Here's another question. Who pays for this equipment? Do I, the patient, have to buy this? Does the doctor prescribe it to me and they get compensated? Does the doctor sell it to me? Do I buy it from you? Does anybody reimburse me as the patient or the doctor for any of this stuff? How does the money work?
So we leave these devices at the doctor's offices, or we can mail to their patients. The patients, when they come in, they for a regular visit, they will pick up these devices and they bring to their home. We have two versions. One is a plug and play, which via a SIM card, like cellular service, they can just plug in and it will automatically connect it to the doctor's offices via the internet. Or the other lower cost version is via Wi-Fi, if the patients have Wi-Fi at home, in which case they have to configure the Wi-Fi password to the box. And after that, it will be just like the other box, a plug and play.
But who buys the box? You make the box, you're selling it to somebody. Yeah. Who buys the box?
The boxes could be free or amortized over a certain number of months. And Medicare pays for this, both for the hardware and also the monthly data service. And
that was the other question.
Doctor bill is CMS. And when CMS reimburses the doctors, they will pay us a certain fee. It could be at no cost to the patients, depending on their healthcare plan.
Okay, so again, I go and pick it up. Medicare reimburses somebody for the cost of the equipment, the doctor who gave it to me or me, the patient who takes it on. And you're saying that, because that was my next question, I got to have data. My aunt didn't have internet. She didn't know how to use the internet. So she had no internet in her house, which was always frustrating to me when I would go there. But she didn't know how to work a computer or a laptop or anything else there. I think that's changing. My generation will know, as we're the next generation to get older, we will know how to use technology. We're already using technology. So that barrier's coming down. But somebody then, you're talking about older people, they may or may not have an internet bill. So if they do, there's some reimbursement to have a basic internet plan?
There's no reimbursement for the internet plan. But like I mentioned earlier, we have the smart hub in two configurations. One is with Wi-Fi, if the patient's home have Wi-Fi, and the other is via cellular.
Oh, it's cellular. Okay, so...
next to this Verizon or AT&T network, for example.
And it's so like a SIM card that goes in there.
Yeah, the SIM card.
So what is on that screen on the hub? You have a screen on the hub. What can you do with it?
I'll mention more on that in version 2, later part of this talk. But for now, what is used is to remind the patients. And with an LCD for user interface, it's much more user-friendly and very versatile. I'll talk more about
it. So it's a little touch screen that somehow because I hook up the device and using Bluetooth, it wirelessly sends the data to the hub. And then the hub, and as long as I've added it, you put in the little SIM card that allows it to act like a phone and get into my cellular network, or as long as I have it hooked up to Wi-Fi or hardwired in somehow to my home internet, this hub collects the data wirelessly by itself, then sends it to the doctor. It just takes some setup, right? Somebody's got to set it up.
We preset it up, or We can remotely set up the patients as long as they know how to use their existing blood pressure or thermometer or pulse ox, then that's it. Like I said earlier, for example, that's the all they need is to press the start button on the blood pressure or, wow, or the glucometer. The rest is behind the scene. Unlike our competitors' product, which most of them requires the patients to have a smartphone to act as a gateway to the internet. This is transparent to the patients.
I'm going to make a point about that too, because I was talking about my aunt. She's in her 90s. She didn't have a smartphone. She wasn't smart enough to use a smartphone. And everybody says, everybody's got a smartphone. Not everybody's knows how to hit apps and do all that stuff. And she wanted everything idiot-proof. She wanted to just touch a button and something happens. She was always frustrated by all these other things that I'd give her. And I'd say, well, just download the app. Well, I don't have a smartphone. And then how do I use the app and everything? What seems obvious to me was foreign to her.
So if there's like a patient that's watching this show and they're like, wow, I want my doctor to use this device because I want my doctor to see my data real time, right? What's the next step? What do they do?
There you go.
The doctors?
Oh, the patient. Right now there's somebody listening. They say, I want this. How do they go get it? And do they have to convince their doctor to use it?
Yeah. What do they do next?
Talk to their doctors to sign up for this program. It's very simple to onboard a patient. And like I said, the MAs can take care of this. It's basically there are many other higher priorities in their daily activities in the office. They're too busy, even though the program rewards them generously financially. And the second thing is being technology adverse and having to train the MA.
So what does the patient
do during the pandemic? There's a shortage of healthcare workers.
Yes, right.
Yeah. So it's hard to retain MAs and nurses in their offices.
So what does the patient tell their doctor if they're interested in this? What should they tell them?
Do they send them to your website? Do they hand them a brochure? Do they say, look into this? I want this. I want you, my doctor, to offer this.
Send the link, the newsrpm.com link to the doctors. It's very self-explanatory with block diagrams and what's in it for the doctors, what's in it for the patients, as well as for CMS. They're willing to pay this upfront because down the road, they cut down on hospitalization costs and the necessary ER visits.
Well, let's talk about that, Dr. Chern. We all know that every insurance carrier in the world wants to cut down costs.
Yeah.
They're paying too much when they could have prevented a lot of this stuff if they'd caught it earlier. So the whole, every time Blue Cross, Kaiser, everybody wants you to do telemedicine. Everybody wants you to do remote patient monitoring. They all want you to eat healthier, exercise more, because they don't want you to go into the hospital. It's expensive to go into the hospital for them.
Absolutely. So, Anhuang, what insurance pays for this? Are there some insurance that pay for it? Are all insurance, or does only Medicare pay for it? What about Medicare Advantage? Like, how does insurance pay for all this?
Straight Medicare patients or Medicare patients or Medicare with some types of PPO. Currently, there are quite a few HMOs or Medicare Advantage that resist this trend or this program. However, I think it's inevitable that eventually they will have to adopt it. And if you look at previous reimbursement program from CMS, first they reimburse it, and then eventually other health insurance plans will follow. And RPM, it has been around for almost 2.5 years now, but it's the way of the future. And Medicare Advantage, because it's preventive medicine, and like you said earlier, it's in between visits data. Otherwise, nobody knows what's happening in those three. And especially we are talking about just health parameters here, like blood pressure and glucose. How about the medication compliance? Okay, that's a key thing. And that's exactly why in this year, CMS just came out with a new program called RTM to pay for additional services to monitor not just those health. RPM, P stands for physiological. Whereas RTMT stands for therapeutic, for therapy response, therapy management, which includes medication tracking.
So what other kinds of therapies can you track? I get that you can track my weight. You can track my blood pressure. I'm amazed you can track my blood sugar and an oxygen level because you just put a little sensor on your finger or whatever. Some of those basic things that they check every time I go to the doctor, you can now do remotely and store that data and send it to your doctor and send them an alert if something bad happens.
Right.
Powerful, inevitable. Whether doctors want this, whether patients are afraid of it, it's coming. It's going to be there because the money it saves, the lives it saves is yes. incontrovertible. Insurance companies, Medicare included, are going to force everybody to do this because it just makes so much sense and saves so much money and so many lives. So I'm with you. This is coming whether we want it or not, folks. The question is, do we embrace it and get ahead of it? And what else can we do with it? Talk about the therapy. Well, I don't understand how you can manage therapies. How do you know if I'm exercising? How do you know if I'm eating right? How do you know if I'm, you can tell if I opened a pill bottle. You can tell maybe, what else can you tell?
I saw something on your website about a toilet monitor.
Toilet monitor. Okay, wow.
What is that? Are you monitoring when
bed sensors. Bed sensor. When you step out of the bed at night, for example, and you go to the toilet, if you don't come back within 10 minutes, maybe there's a possibility that you fall or something. That's very common in the...
Really?
I'm telling you, that was the number one thing. If my aunt would go to the hospital, or I'd get more emergency calls in the middle of the night because she got to the toilet and she couldn't get back. She was weak. She was tired. She was scared. She was confused, whatever it was. And there were, I can't tell you, more than once, we had to call emergency, like the fire department or the police department. They came and busted down the door to get her off the toilet and back into bed. And every time they did, the police said, don't do this again. We're not here to take your aunt off the toilet.
Wait. Here you go. That's after you leave the toilet, it monitors. What about on the way to the toilet and you fell down? Do you have something for that?
Yes, that's a part two. That's what I meant by version two. That's what I'm going to talk about next.
We're ready.
Take this
next one.
Yes, we're ready. Version two here. Right.
Before I talked about version two, I quickly mentioned about this smart card. It's very smart and it has features for version one as well as for version two. So far, you have collected all those health data,
right,
like blood pressure, glucose, all that. And then all that info is stored in this card. So if you go to the doctor's office, the MAs can scan this and she can retrieve all your medical history, medication history, or what your last blood pressure reading was, things like that.
I got to stop you because you just blew my mind here. I thought all the data is in the hub, the device. And
the hub is sent to the cloud. It's stored in the cloud. Anybody with a smartphone can tap on this.
But now you're telling me that you can actually download it.
So your health data is on that little card that allows you to connect with the cloud.
Yes, the ID in here allows you to connect to the cloud to retrieve all the data that was stored previously through the smart hub.
So you scan this card and it takes you to the internet where it's all stored.
Right. You scan or you tap. Scan the QR code or you tap like at Costco gas station or coffee shop.
Okay. All right. So could that be used? Let me give you another example. Maybe I'm going too far down this hole here. I got this card on me. It accesses, if you've got the internet on your phone, if you have a smartphone, you do. I tap this card, I touch it, it reads the QR code, and my phone opens up and there's my data. Would this be useful for emergency situations?
Exactly. I'm glad you mentioned about that. Yes. For example, in case of emergency, the paramedics or first responder team can tap on this and see all your previous medication. So to avoid a drug interaction, for example, as well as they can establish a video call to your caregiver or doctor instantaneously via this card. You just tap on it and a Zoom call will be established.
How do they establish a video call?
Anonymously.
Wow. How do they do a video call with your doctor with that card?
Via either QR code or like I said, the NFC, near field communication. You tap on it, like at Starbucks, Costco. And then via our cloud services, we'll connect to whoever you program this card to be contacted in case of emergency.
So it calls them. It says, I've been in a car crash, God forbid, and an EMS person who doesn't know me finds the card, taps it, scans it. There's my data. Oh, he's diabetic or something here. I'm glad to know that. He's going to go into insulin shock among every other thing here, whatever, something. And at the same time, when I do that, a message is sent to my healthcare provider. Hey, your patient's in trouble. And here's through this app in the cloud, we can connect to the EMS out there in the middle of nowhere on his phone saying, who is this patient? Let me look at their data and let's contact the doctor. And the doctor can somehow video conference in with me instantly if they get this message.
Yes, instantaneously and anonymously.
Wow.
That's actually the most exciting thing I heard today.
That's me too. Me too. That takes it to a whole nother level. That's not just day-to-day monitoring. I used to keep a chart by hand. Now the doctor can access it when they want and gets alerted. Now I'm out in the field in an emergency, particularly if I have a health issue, instead of having just to wear a little chain that says, be careful, I'm diabetic or whatever, or here's my blood type or whatever. People put different things on their body, hoping somebody will find it. They can find a card that instantly gives them all the data about this person, contacts their healthcare provider that's already connected. And if they're available and if they get it, they can respond and say, what's going on? Who's this? Where's my patient?
Is that like a credit card size? Show us that card again.
Yeah, it's a credit card size. Yes.
In my wallet is the access to my whole life and an emergency access to my doctor through the internet.
Wow. Why isn't this already out there being promoted?
Actually, we had a few client accounts using this prior to the pandemic. Actually, this can be used as another marketing tool for a doctor's office or clinics because we can print their logo or their business. It's like their business card.
So let me ask you a question, Dr. Trin. It's still competitive to be a doctor. I have lots of choices. I can pick any doctor in the network. I pick you or I pick somebody. And I like the doctor. They're going to have telehealth options for me. They're going to have this program to monitor my vital signs. Wouldn't this be a tremendous competitive advantage to say, and only I'm going to give you a card with my name on it that you can use in an emergency. Somebody finds you, they can get all your data and then get a hold of me and I can talk to them in real time all through a smartphone instantly. Here's this gateway. Here's this card. Only I give this to you. Talk about connection. I'm connected to you all the time.
Okay. So here's a technology gap that I want to find out. So the patient's data is in their electronic medical record. Does this little credit card thing, does it somehow connect with that? Or do you have to, or is it a second set of data set that you have to type down what they're taking and all that?
You're saying for privacy reasons or something, if somebody just found this card and scanned it, I lost it and somebody finds it in the parking lot. Yeah.
It's HIPAA compliance. They have to enter a password. I have access. In case the patient's faint, for example, if the paramedic scan this, he won't be able to see it unless he look at the patient's pocket and find his phone. And there's a, when you scan this, the patient's phone will display a passcode for the first responder team to enter to access the data, if in case the patient's faint. But if she or he is still conscious, then the paramedic can get the passcode from the patient.
So there's some protection against losing this and getting it into the wrong hands. I found this card. I can scan it. Now I know everything about Dr. Trin.
Like I said, just this card, you won't be able to access the data. Either the patient will have to read to the person who scanned this, the passcode, or in case he or she faints or is not conscious, then it will display the passcode on the phone of the patient.
So they'd have to find the card and the phone. And I hate to say this, not to be a little, part of the adoption of any new technology, the EMT would have to know how to use this. They would have to know, what the heck am I looking at and how do I use it?
You just tap. You just tap it and then on the iPhone or Android phone, you'll pop up the message. You click on it.
But yes. I'm in the middle of Montana. I'm in the middle of nowhere. Nobody's ever seen any of this before. They're not as sophisticated with technology. They see this. Is there instruction on the back of the card that says, if you find this, here's what you do?
Now everybody is familiar with QR code. So they know that, we have instruction. Scan or NFC tap the backside for medical info.
There you go.
As simple as that.
Okay.
Okay, we have only 20 minutes left. I really want to save all that time for the, if you are excited about what we have talked about so far, it's nothing compared to the version 2 with more features.
How can it be more? I'm already thrilled at what you got here.
No, wait, this can do a lot of magic, seriously, for your aunt out of nowhere. Yeah,
out in the middle of nowhere, right, out of intel. All right, so version 2, we got 15, 20 minutes. Give us version 2.
So basically version 1 is for wellness from home. Okay, so far we talked about version 1. Version 2 of our home health platform, which not only offers wellness from home, but also supports the new emerging hospital at home trend that enables like post-surgery early discharge for the patients to recover at home And this is in an effort to further reduce hospitalization costs, as well as to help solve the shortage of healthcare workers in the hospital, especially during like COVID-19. Okay, so the key technologies that we are introducing version 2 are, we built in camera and microphone and speaker in here. This is a camera for what we call triple play streaming. Not only the data like we previously sent, like blood pressure and glucose, but now interactively, similar to like FaceTime. Now we can offer Zoom video call via this.
So and the nurse or somebody can contact you and say, hey, patient, I see there's a problem here. Can we set up a call? What's going on here? And yes. See them. What's your face look like? Well, you look drowsy. You look confused. What's going on?
You look drunk.
You look drunk. Well, I'm Irish. That happens all the time.
Right. So setting up a Zoom call, even though it's simple, but still you require an app and all that to set it up. See how simple it is using our new built-in Zoom video call. Again, using this, you just tap. There's an NFC reader, a reader in here. If you tap on this, immediately there's a Zoom link that will be created automatically and sent to the doctors. The doctors can invite other specialists or even family members to conference call with the patient.
That would be wonderful. Family members.
The patient does not need any smartphone or anything to create a Zoom link. Things like that. Okay.
All right, Dr. Chen's going to show us something here, I think.
Wow. Let's see what he has.
Similarly, from the doctors can also schedule a call. Again, he just, on our dashboard, he just click a button and a Zoom link will be automatically created and sent to the patients at the scheduled time. And at that time, when it arrives, then there's an SMS message sent to this screen. And then the patient...
A little text message appears that says, Dr. Trin wants to see you here at 3 o'clock.
Yes, it's interactive, and now along with the data, you can view and listen to the patients both ways. And also family members can use this service, not just doctors, for example, to reduce social isolation in the elderly, which is a very common problem. The second feature we are adding is this wearable sensor, which I'm also wearing for testing our devices. Unlike the blood pressure glucometer in version 1, which is we call a spot check, only when you press the stop button, then the data is transferred. Here, the data is continuously being monitored and uploaded. So we monitor.
Show us the sensor again. I want to see it on the screen.
How about this? You wear it on the...
Open up a little further. We can't really see it. Open up and hold it there for a second.
Yeah, hold it for a second. Put it closer to the screen. The video. I see. So that goes on your chest.
Yes, that goes on the chest.
And what does that monitor? Heart and what?
Monitor.
ECG, respiration rate, heart rate, temperature, and a very important daily activity, including fall detection for your aunt, Paul. Yeah. Okay.
Now, how does it, I don't want to go too deep into it because we're running out of time, but how does that little device stuck to my chest, how does it monitor all those things? Does it do it?
It has accelerometer to monitor like daily activity, whether you are walking, sitting, or lying down. And when you fall, we can dispatch 911, as well as, which I mentioned last time, unlock the door so that the first responder team doesn't have to break down the door.
Unlock the door. Oh, my goodness. I just told you how many times we had to break down the door because I couldn't get there.
Oh, yes. We have a smart door lock on Apple website that automatically unlocks the door for the first responder team in case the fault condition is detected. Okay.
I don't know if you appreciate how huge this is for those of us who've gone through this.
So the neat thing is these are very timely features because the new RTM program, which I mentioned earlier, not only pays for the medication tracking, but also pays for monitoring the daily activity. Do you exercise enough or things like that? And also for rehab. They pay. That's why it's called remote therapeutic. It's therapy management and therapy response monitoring.
I'm telling my aunt there were days she didn't get out of bed. I know it. She would never admit it, but I know she just laid in bed and watched TV all day. She got up and ate. She got up, went to the bathroom, and she went right back to bed. And that's not healthy. That's not happy. That's not moving. That's why she got older. She got heavier. She had more and more pain and trouble moving. So rather than moving the arthritic joints, she just gave in and sat. And that just made it worse. So if I knew, hey, you didn't get out of bed today. Hey, I knew you fell. Hey, because you fell, we can unlock the door and let somebody in. This is revolutionary. This is revolutionary.
Thank you. Yes, it's very timely with all these features. I've quickly mentioned we have 10 minutes left. Yeah, right. We achieve all this with via various partnerships with the Orange County-based companies as well as with big companies. Just like the past 4 years, we have been sponsored and endorsed by Google at major trade shows like CES in Las Vegas and in Germany. Now we are glad to share that we have been selected by LG company as the top 50 companies to explore new business partnership properties with them.
In LG? Wait, isn't LG like a refrigerator?
It's company? A giant electronics company out of Germany.
LG electronic TV and
appliances. Yeah, everything. Yes. They make everything.
So specifically in connected health applications. Some people mentioned the complaints that this screen is too small for Zoom. So our goal is to somehow find a business partnership with LG to project this onto their smart TV? LCD TV.
Or your refrigerator. They have screens built into the refrigerator too and everything now.
My dream is to port all these IPs on this tiny screen onto an OLED screen from LG refrigerator or a smart TV.
So NewsLogic has some type of collaboration with LG?
Yes, this is very early, but yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All right. I want to know how we can invest in this.
Specifically in connected health. So it's a very big opportunity for us. But we still have a couple of hurdles to get to the finalists.
All right. So Dr. Trin, how do we invest in this thing? Forget about owning one. I want to own a piece of this company. This is going to be huge. Apple or Google is going to buy this thing out.
You're speaking to the owner.
I'm telling you, on my Apple Watch, someday this technology is going to be integrated into the TV in my refrigerator, into the TV in my bedroom, into the TV in my car, into the TV on my smartphone, into my smartwatch, and all of this stuff is going to seem ordinary and everyday. A magic watch that tracks me, that transmits data, that notifies people I've fallen, I'm sick, something's happened, opens the door, contacts the doctor, all that. This is revolutionary. This is going to be huge.
So we have a question on Facebook. The question is your sensor on your chest, is it waterproof? Because people say it's waterproof.
Yes.
I see.
Yes. I can get in the shower. I don't have to.
I actually swim with it.
You swim with it?
Wow.
I have to stress test it. Yes. Yeah. So far, it has not been broken yet.
So what's wrong with this? What needs to be figured out? Is it just we've got to get more adoption? Is it we've got to get more partners?
Don't blame the doctors or actually the elderly patients. Look at a lot of owners of Tesla, for example. They buy a Tesla. But let me ask you, how many of them are comfortable? Let the Tesla self-drive.
Yeah.
Technologies, there are different grades of complexities. So we ourselves, even if you own Tesla, you are not yet comfortable using the self-driving mode. Right. So doctors, they are busy. So we understand that. But it's a matter of time all these will get adopted sooner or later.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time.
Yes.
Right. It is just inevitable. Are there lots of companies doing what you're doing? Are you alone in this space? Do you have lots of companies? I would think there'd be a million companies trying to do this.
Yes, lots of companies. But like I said, I'm very glad and lucky to be selected by the LG. They said out of 1,300 companies, they selected the first 50 now. And they have a couple more hurdles to go to get to the top 10.
And that must say something about not only what you've created, but the stability of the platform, the cost of the platform. I mean, they look at all these underlying technical specs that I don't care about. I just want it to work. But they must.
Plus, you already have patients using it now, right? About 800 patients are using it. Wow, that's impressive.
So when I see you on the cover of Forbes magazine as the next billionaire, when Apple announces that they're going to buy this and put it into their smartwatch, when LG makes this a feature of every TV they sell, and you're a division of LG or some other crazy thing, will you still remember us? Will you come back and tell us?
Of course, Paul. But if you offer me a third session on talk show to talk about our version 3, because we run out of time now, I cannot talk about our next goal, which is hospital at home product and services.
Hospital at home.
Hospital is at home, yes. We have products in the pipeline, which require even more sophisticated technologies.
Because we want to get
you infusion pump. currently the nurses, basically this is for like post-surgery, early discharge.
Yeah, right.
And for that, in these more acute cases, we need more sophisticated medical equipment, which we have in the pipeline. And with that, I'd like to cite two of our Orange County-based partners.
Okay.
And very close partners. One is the Device Lab, which is very entrenched in FDA certifications, because with these hospital at home technologies, we need FDA certifications.
Yeah.
As well as another company here is Poly Labs. And they are very much into the new, the next frontier in wireless. Remember I mentioned Verizon, AT&T, LTE capabilities? Those are very low cost compared to your LTE service on your phone, like $2 a month versus $50 a month for your phone. However, there's a new emerging wireless protocol called LoRaWAN, which stands for a long range, a wide area network, which we are adopting in our next product. And we will cut the cost even further for the monthly.
How did you come up with all this? We haven't talked about it. Just quickly, give us a summary of your background. Did you just wake up someday and say, I'm going to do this? Or were you a research scientist or a venture capitalist? How did you stumble upon this and build this?
This is actually from my 37 years of experience with companies like Broadcom here in Wiseless. And their slogan was connecting everything.
Yeah.
And 20 years ago, we envisioned all this. Like the term triple play that I mentioned in my support for video audio, it did not come from me. It came from Broadcom 20 years ago when I worked there. At that time, if you remember, internet service versus DirecTV on satellite for Hollywood movies are separate. We, for the first time, Broadcom came out with a chip that supports internet, Wi-Fi service, and
live streaming capabilities.
Yeah. All three, the videos and audio and data at the same time.
Well, it's the convergence that comes with the Internet of Things. Everything will be connected.
All this is Internet of Things. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Everything, your toaster, your TV, your television, your refrigerator, your wristwatch, your health monitor will all be connected to the internet. And then the software, the chips will allow it and the software allow it to connect and converse and communicate with everybody in real time, anywhere.
That's amazing. Paul, I don't know if you know, but Mr. Huang here is a super smart guy. He's got a lot of patents under his name.
I want to know more about this company. Tell us the name of the company, because I can see this is going to be a big company if it's not already. There's certainly big upside to this. There's an endless market for at-home monitoring for basic health needs, or you're saying for therapy needs. Did they fall? Did they get up? Did they walk today? Did they do something? And even in phase three, more sophisticated stuff you can hook up so you can go home, heal and not stay in the hospital. All of that's huge. That's where the whole industry is going, and you're at the forefront of it. So what's the name of the company, and spell it for us?
NurseLogic Telehealth.
How do you spell it?
Anybody who is curious about what nurse means from the English dictionary, nowadays everything is smart. Smart home, smart city, smart phone, smart car. I think it's overused. So I use nurse, which according to the dictionary is intelligent or smart.
And spell it.
N-O-U-S. N-O-U-S. Logic. Noose Logic.
Noose Logic. All right. Well, Noose Logic, I hope we will hear more. I want to find out, are you raising money? Is this all privately owned? Are you going to go public? Are you going to sell any shares in this stuff ever?
This is for the long haul. So, yes, we are going to start raising money, but business partnership with companies like LG, which is in consumer appliances, is a big, big opportunity for us.
So this is all, how big is the company right now? Is it a handful of you? Is there 100 of you? How big is the, this sounds like a pretty early stage startup here.
Small. We have been around for quite some time. That's why we were like sponsored, endorsed by Google, and we won many pitch competitions. Acting worldwide, not just in the U.S. We are small, yes.
Well, we're going to make it big. We just blew it up today here for you. Dr. Trin, take us out. I'm in awe. I don't even know what to make of this.
Next time we come back, I want to hear about hospital at home, how that works.
Exactly.
Anyway, guys, good to see you. Thank you for coming back. Round two, and Huang, we'll have you come back for round three, talk about hospital at home and some other technologies. But this was an amazing session today, guys. You guys have a great day. We're keeping an eye out on Noose Logic here and see where they go.
All right. And hang around, guys, after I end the show here. I have a quick question for both of you. Hang around here. Well, if that doesn't whet your appetite to hear more, I don't know what will. Join us each and every Thursday as we uncover the most interesting, amazing, life-changing ideas, strategy, innovations. Try and make sense of this whole quest realm to feel healthier and live happier lives. On Health Talk with Dr. Trin, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.